Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today we're going to continue in our study in the Scripture, of course, going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And last time we ended up in the Psalms, Psalm 78. I've divided Psalm into three sections, which wasn't hard to do since there's 150 chapters, and we're about halfway through the 50 through 100 here, and then we're going to move on to something else, and of course, then we'll finish up Psalms later in another section, because Psalms is fairly long. And really, it's not a cohesive letter like many of the epistles and the gospels and so forth. So it's easy to break it up because we have even different authors. And Psalms was compiled over probably hundreds of years. Okay, we are in Psalm 78, as I said, and we are about verse 40. I think we got a little past that, but we're going to back up to verse 40 and pick it up there. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And of course, we're speaking of the children of Israel and how they provoked God in the wilderness after he had brought them out of the land of Egypt and showed them miracles, and so much so that even when he showed them the promised land and they did their reconnaissance, they sent out the spies, and most of them came back with an evil report because, well, they were basically, they were cowards. We can't do it, except for those two that came back with a good report, and they were the only ones of that whole generation that entered into that land after 40 years. And we have a report that they lived a good long life. We read about that in Joshua and Judges. Yes, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, faithlessness limits the things that God will do in our life. I mean, not that he couldn't do anything he wanted to, but you think about it, you know, any of you parents out there that have children, you know that, I mean, if you're a good parent, you don't want to reward unfaithfulness. You don't want to reward whining, complaining children. And some children will whine and complain to get their way, but after a while, they learn if you don't reward them for that. The worst parents are the ones that do reward children for that kind of behavior. Well, our Heavenly Father does not reward that kind of behavior. It says they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And, well, I can't imagine having a child, being a parent, and having a child that has never tempted me to want to strangle them at some time or other. And all of you parents, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You're tempted. Of course, we have self-control. We haven't killed any of our children yet. But we do understand those people that without self-control, that are without self-control themselves, that are driven by anger, because anger is something we all feel, but we are not driven by it. And of course, we see the terrible news, constantly coming out how parents kill their children. And many times in anger because their children tempt them. And those parents having little self-control end up doing terrible things even to their own children. Continuing, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them and devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger and spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. And, you know, that's a reference there that Egypt is the offspring of Ham. Continuing on, but he made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among them, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. The priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And he smote the enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like a high palaces, like the earth, which he hath established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Psalm 79. A Psalm of Asaph. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Yahuwah, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of blood, of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbor sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. It really makes me fear for the nation that I live in, and those people who call themselves Christians, and they say that they're called by his name, not so much so as those that were called the Yahudi, called by his name, of course, the people of God, and his nation on earth. Our Heavenly Father established Israel and separated a people for himself, a nation on the earth, the kingdom of God in flesh. And everyone could look and say, that's the nation. Those are the people of Yahuwah, the Yahudi, the people called by his name. That's not so today. You know, they were the clay, and the clay represents the people that God could mold. Unfortunately, they rebelled on a national level. Of course, amongst that national level, I mean, amongst that nation, there was a remnant that did allow themselves to be molded. But unfortunately, the remnant was always a minority, as it is today. I believe that there is a remnant in the whole earth today. And we see that as signified by from the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which the angel gave Daniel the interpretation of it. And it comes down to the end of time where we have the iron, and that is a broken Roman-style empire covering the whole earth, basically. And that's basically what we have today. And, of course, the head, I believe, is Rome still, and I believe the head is there at the Vatican. I believe that with many other people. And I believe historically it was believed that Rome or the Vatican was the first beast, and they fairly do rule over the earth, though they seem to be dead for a while. And I believe they have recovered from their wound. We've talked about that before. But focusing on the clay, that malleable part, the malleable remnant in the earth, and you have the clay mingled with the iron throughout all of the earth, we are the people of God today. We are his holy nation. No one can look like they used to look at Israel and say, there is the nation of God. That doesn't exist anymore. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Truly, his nation has filled the whole earth, albeit a remnant. Let's continue in chapter 80, or Psalm 80, and verse 1. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim Iduth, a psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? And the more I read, the more I think about the situation in the nation that I'm in today, and many of the nations among the earth, and all their varying degrees of apostasy. And if God had judged Ephraim and Israel and spared Judah, he only spared Judah for his own word to fulfill the promises that he made That was the reason that he spared Judah, because on a national level, they were certainly almost, if not as apostate as the rest of Israel. On a national level, well, they did have the priesthood, and perhaps that was the thing that spared them. And through them, the line of the seed of David, the Messiah, would come, that promised seed that was prophesied from the beginning. It prophesied to Adam and Eve at the very beginning. Our Heavenly Father fulfilled His word, and He sustained Judah until, well, 70 A.D., when He destroyed Israel and scattered them among the nations, those that were not killed by the sword. Those that were unrepentant remained and did not accept the Messiah, they were taken captive or killed by the sword. And those that were obedient would have been obedient to the Messiah, who told them to flee the land. And that way they were scattered among the nations around about them because of obedience. And here we are today. Who is Israel? Who is the seed of Israel today? Well, it's a spiritual seed. It's the seed of the Messiah. It is those that are His blood, because we are His blood by faith. His blood covers our sins. It identifies us as His holy people, scattered throughout the whole earth. We are Israel, as much, if not more than, anyone who could claim a genealogy and a seed line going back to some disobedient Jews of the first century, because we have the blood. We have the real blood covering our sins. And that blood is available to everyone who will receive it. It is the gift of God by faith, and it is the blood by faith. Flesh and blood, the scripture says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it is not blood by seed line, by genealogy, but it is the blood by faith that we receive, and it covers our sin, so that when we die, when we go into the grave, death will look at us, it will see the blood of the Messiah, and it will see that the price has been paid, and that death has no claim on us because of His blood. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. It takes a lot more faith to believe in that than it does it to believe in dirt, I guess. For, I think that most people do believe, but most people believe falsely in their own goodness. And then there are those who search out the question and can't receive it because they don't want to give up those things that they enjoy. So they delude themselves into believing there is no God and that it's all a fantasy. Let's continue here. Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Yahuwah, God of hosts, how long wilt Thou be angry against the prayer of Thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the godly cedars, but like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself, It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again. Yahuwah, God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And in these Psalms, we review the story, the rise and the demise of the kingdom of God in flesh, Israel, that nation, planted by God, and everything that would happen to it was foretold by him in prophecy. Nothing has changed. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.